How many just enjoyed opening your presents? How many of you loved eating chocolate? Okay, that's my personal favorite. You know, it would be so wonderful, wouldn't it? If Christmas could last all year. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Did you see it? Like a bowl of jelly. Turkey's still in there. I ate last night, and which was amazing in itself, but I ate last night, and then we decided to watch a movie. That's kind of what we decided to do. So we put in the movie, and it was a new one. I can't remember. But anyway, and I fell asleep. Does that ever happen? You know, you eat turkey, you go... But I didn't feel bad because everybody else was nodding off for periods of time throughout the movie. So it was all good. That's Christmas. It would be so great if that could be every day of the year. Christmas is such a powerful time. We can all give testimony of how Christmas really has shaped us. It's interesting that we can give testimony to what has happened. See, we all want a testimony, but we usually want a testimony without the test. So we usually want the testimony without going through what we need to go through in order to receive the testimony. See, that first Christmas that was read for you, there was much testimony going on. There was a lot of testing. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2 because we're going to look at this and we can hopefully understand a little bit better how you can live Christmas all year. Just look at Luke chapter 2. Mandy read it for you and Emily, and it was such a great passage. Luke chapter 2. You can live Christmas every day. And I'll tell you, Christmas really is living. Christmas is living in obedience. It's living in obedience. If you look at the beginning, those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So you can say Quirinius seven times and get away with it once. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Talk about a test. It'd be like flying on a plane. I don't know. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Great passage of testing. Christmas is living in obedience. See, we're all familiar with this story. Joseph is explained by Matthew. He was a righteous man, chosen by God to be married to Mary. Mary was chosen by God to give birth to the Son. And they were to call him Jesus. And I mean, we could go on and on explaining how Joseph and Mary allow God to invade and reshape their lives. You have the same possibility to live the same way today with reshaped lives. You can have the same hope that Mary and Joseph had here. And I'll tell you where that hope is found. That hope is found in the Word becoming flesh. The Word. The Bible, the Scriptures. Right here. The Bible. God's Word. It never changes. Never. The Bible is steady. The Bible is reliable. The Word of our God shall stand forever, says Isaiah. Now, you know, we may look at these verses and we may say, well, we believe that. I know that. I know that that happened. I know that that was Christmas. But let me ask you, where do you turn when those decisions need to be made that could affect your entire life? You turn to the Word. You turn to the Word. What is your authority in life? Should be the Word. What holds you together when everything else around you collapses? It should be this. What holds you together when everything else crumbles? That's where Mary and Joseph were. Everything was collapsing around them. But they held true to God. Some pertinent questions for us as we search our heart of obedience. And often our obedience to God is tested over and over and over and over. Not tempted. James, the book of James says that God does not tempt, but test. Our obedience deepens during such times of questioning, wondering, how come, why? We're tested. Mary and Joseph knew that there was no testimony without the test. So they would travel the difficult journey of more than 70 miles through mountainous terrain to the place where the Son of God would be born. Bethlehem. Now, why would they do this? I mean, wouldn't it have been easier to not travel? I mean, because, I mean, after all, she was pregnant. She could have got away with not traveling. Wouldn't it have been easier to just simply stay put? I mean, you think of Mary, you think of Joseph, two teenagers. Wouldn't they be afraid? Not when God is your focus. The presence of God removes all fear. And Mary and Joseph knew that the greatest gift given, that they had given their life away to the greatest birth that would change the entire course of history, the birth of the Savior of the world. So Mary and Joseph headed to where God needed them to be. They were uncertain. They had questions. They had fear. They were frustrated. No. They believed. They truly believed. They believed God. See, the presence of God is also available to us, just like them. I mean, we can live this manger moment simply by keeping God our focus, keeping God our director, keeping God our guide in life daily. It's all we need. We just need to spend time knowing Him. Knowing what His desire is for our life. You know, it was the day after Christmas, which is Boxing Day. How many of you were up at 6 a.m. sitting at Walmart? It opened at 7. How many of you were at Future Shop last night, 11:30? Yes, thank you. We're smarter than that, someone said. There were people there at 11:30 last night, actually, lining up at Future Shop. It was on PA Now this morning. It was the day after Christmas at a church in San Francisco. The pastor of the church was looking at the manger scene when he noticed that the baby Jesus figure was missing from the cradle. And so he immediately turned and he went outside and he thought, what am I going to do? I mean, baby Jesus is gone, and he saw this little boy had a red wagon and was walking down the street. And in the wagon was the figure of the infant Jesus. And so he walked up to the boy and he said, son, I'm not trying to accuse him, but where did you get that little baby Jesus that's in your wagon? The little boy said, well, you ought to know, I got it from your church. Well, why did you take him? Asked the pastor. The little boy replied, he said, well, about a week before Christmas, I just knew my parents might not come through. So I prayed to the little Lord Jesus. I told him if he'd bring me a little red wagon for Christmas, I'd give him a ride around the block in it. So when we're quiet enough to listen to God, His plan for our life is so much better. See, then we can even come up with. I mean, in quiet obedience, Mary and Joseph served God, and in quiet obedience, they were rewarded greatly. We can live Christmas with such obedience, with such power in our living. This obedience and power is right within your grasp. It's right here. The Word of the living God, the Bible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As we embark upon 2011, you know I'm going to say to you, you better make a new habit this year if you don't have this already. Make this book central to your living every day. The power of this book. You know, this is the Word of God. And so it really boils down to just two choices. God's Word is going to be your authority for life in which you base your decisions. Or the world is what you're going to base your decisions on. The Word or the world. What God says or what other people say. You know, I can remember my mom and dad. They had to come along with me. I was 14 at the time. And they had to come along with me to buy a new shirt. Do you guys understand? Like, I was 14 and my mom and dad had to come along. Do you guys get it? Like, and, you know, I tried on these shirts and, you know, come out of the dress because my mom would say, you know, come out of the dressing room. And I had to pull back the curtain and walk out. She, no, not that one. No, no, doesn't look good on you. What do you think? What do you think, George? Well, I'm, you know. And, I mean, I loved my white fox shirt. It had a little fox on the corner. Do you guys know what that is? It was a designer shirt at the time. I got it from somewhere. I think it was a hand-me-down from my brother. But it had a little fox on it, and I can't help it that the white was kind of tan now. I love that shirt, and I wore it pretty well every day. And my mother and father, well, my mom, thought that, you know, I got to look a little more stylish. And so they came along with me to do some shopping. And my mom was so scared that when she'd wash my fox shirt, that it would just, because it was so shredded, that she'd shred it in the machine because there was holes in it. I love that thing, you know. I had a hard time giving up that shirt because it was a fox shirt. It was a designer's shirt. I wanted, but, you know, I could wear that, you know. It wasn't white, but it was okay, you know. When we pulled up in front of the Army and Navy department store in Regina, and, I just turned white. My dad commented, he said, can you hear the birds flying overhead? And I said, no, I can't hear any birds. And Dad, he said, well, you know what they're saying? Do you want me to tell you what they're saying? And I said, I don't know what they're saying. They're saying cheap, 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 you know. It was torment. It was absolute torment. And then I had to go in and try these shirts on, you know. So I was goodbye designer tea, hello grief for me. I don't know. It was terrible. But if you base your life on popular opinion of what is currently the in thing to do, you're always going to be out of date because it's always changing. See, what used to be in yesterday will not be in today, and what's in today will not be in tomorrow. So the opinions of the world, they change all the time. You have a very kind of shifting foundation. You do not have principles to live by. If you base your life simply on popular culture, political correctness, or opinion poll, it's all on shaky ground. On the other hand, if you base your life on God's Word, the truth never changes. Truth is always true. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's always been, it always will be. If God says it's all right, it will be all right. So you can either build your life on shaky foundation, constantly changing the opinions of the world. Mary and Joseph, you better stay put because Mary, you're pregnant. Joseph, you'd better stay behind. I don't even know why you want to marry her. She's pregnant. Or you can build your life on what God says, which never changes. Gives you a solid foundation. Everything else is up in the air. This gives you a solid foundation. What God says gives you a solid foundation. Can you say what God says? Can you say what God says?
God says.
Gives you a firm foundation.
Gives you
Christmas is living in obedience, but it's also living in praise. Christmas is that time where many people find it difficult, really, to find anything to praise God about. I mean, Hollywood's tapped into this. I mean, I watched, there was a kind of a show on the other night, Surviving Christmas. You know, I was kind of watched a little bit of it. Christmas with the Cranks, you know. Some of you are here this morning. Successful, but I mean, you know, Scrooge, you know, Scrooged, I think, ran all day yesterday. But praise, in which was extolled, proclaimed because of that manger incident, it's often lost or it's forgotten during Christmas. We crowd our heart with so many worries, so many concerns, with critical, bent out of shape spirit, that the Holy Spirit's not given any room. And we give in to all that. Oh, this isn't what I wanted. I want more chocolate. Where's the chocolate on the turkey? You know? We get that critical bent out of shape heart when really we're supposed to come and just praise God. Where's your praise? What do you praise? Do you praise and extol our Savior?
Yeah, I do. I praise Him. I praise Him every day. Yeah. Means a lot to me. I mean, I love Jesus. I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. I'll praise You. Praise You. Praise You. Praise You. Praise You. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Yeah, I love Jesus. He means everything to me. He means the world. Do you praise Him? I'm praising Him right now. Can't you see? Can't you tell? I'm praising Jesus.
You can live Christmas. The question is, whom are you living for? Whom are we living for? Are we living to praise and extol God? Every day? Did you know the book of Zephaniah says, God delights in you. God enjoys you. He even sings over you. We need to praise Him. When we delight in God, when we live for Him, we praise God. We extol Him. We rejoice in Him. We need to praise God. Amen?
Amen. He's almost done, dear. We'll be going home soon. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Right on. Christmas is living in obedience, in praise, also in action. The shepherds make their way. In fact, they hurry to the manger. They want to see the glory, what the glory of the Lord looks like. And I'm sure with excitement, with anticipation, I'm sure they journeyed there. I mean, look at verse 17. When they had seen Him, that is Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They retold the Christmas event. Their action matches what they saw. They lived Christmas every day. Sometimes we get so caught up by everything else, or what we want, or how we think things should be, that we don't have enough time to just squeeze out a few words to encourage someone, or even demonstrate that we know that first Christmas. Christmas should be every day of your life. Reading the Bible, listening to God, praising Him, by showing Christ's love, forgiveness, and compassion, living Christmas. I mean, really living Christmas. That's what it is. That's why this loved one of the project is so critical, because it helps you live Christmas every day of your life. Christmas. You can live it. You can proclaim it. You can extol praise every day, just by showing somebody Jesus. I want you to close your Bibles, because I want you to hear what I'm about to say. His name is Bill. Wild hair. He wears a t-shirt. It's got holes in it. It didn't have a little fox thing on it, though, but it had holes in it. Jeans. And he had no shoes.
Literally, that was his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. He was brilliant. He was kind of profound, very, very bright. And he became a Christian while he was attending college. And somebody told him, the guy who led him to the Lord said, you better get to church. And so across the street from the campus and where which he was studying was a well-dressed, very conservative church. And they were seeking to develop some kind of a ministry to students. They just weren't sure what they were going to do or how it was going to happen or how to even go about it. Well, one day Bill saw the little thing on the kind of on the bulletin board at the college. And so he thought, well, I'm going to go there. You know, they're Christian and want students to go, so I'm going to go. He walks in, no shoes, jeans, T-shirt, holes in it, wild hair. Service has started, much like this. Bill comes down the aisle looking for a seat, couldn't find one. Church is packed. People are really looking, just a little bit uncomfortable. Nobody says anything. Nobody says a word. Bill gets closer and closer to the pulpit. And he sits down right on the carpet. Right there. A lot of you want to sit there, I can tell. But now the people are just that are there are just kind of, you could cut the tension with a knife. I mean, it's that thick. About this time, the minister realizes that far from back of the church, a deacon's making his way down toward Bill. Deacon's in his 80s, silver gray hair, three-piece suit, very godly man, very elegant, very dignified, very courtly. He walks with a cane, and as he starts walking towards this young adult, everyone's saying to themselves, can't blame what he's going to do. I mean, we know what he's going to do. We know what he's going to do. I mean, how can you expect a man of his age, his background, to understand a college kid who's sitting on the floor with no shoes, jeans, and a holy T-shirt and wild hair? It takes a long time, but the man makes it down to the front, reaches the boy. The church is silent, much like now, except you can hear the clicking of the cane. And all eyes are focused on this deacon. You can hear a pin drop, really, on the carpet. And the minister can't even preach the sermon until the deacon does what he has to do. And they see this elderly man come to the front, and right beside this guy, he drops his cane to the floor. And with great difficulty, he lowers himself and sits down next to Bill and worships with him so he will not be alone. And everyone is choked up with emotion. And when the minister gains control, when the pastor kind of gets it together, he says, what I'm about to preach, you will never remember. What you have just seen, you will never forget. That's living Christmas. You may be the only Bible that some people ever read. So how can you live it unless you know it? We need to come to God's Word with a humble attitude and say, God, you know what's best for me. You know what's right for me. I'm going to do what you say to do, whether it makes sense or not, because I want to be who you want me to be. I want to be who you want me to be. And when you do that, you live Christmas. You really do. All year long. To close, I just want to tell you that we have, if you want one, some of you got these last year, the little day timers, they're little schedulers. And they have in here scripture verses, little things, that you can read little stories, but it also has passages that you can go through and read, prayer passage or scripture passages to help you get kind of focused in God's Word, and as well a prayer focus that you can do. And so it really helps you get
into this, but also connected with God even more and deeper in your life. And so we have one for everyone. If you want one of these, you can have it. All right? They're free. They're for you. We believe this is so important. But I also want to stress something. Don't read simply books about the Bible. Read the Bible. Don't just read books about, well, I read a book the other day. It was so good about this, by this author. Don't read just books about the Bible. Get into the Word of God. Know it so you can live it. Because there are a lot of bills. There are a lot of bills out there who need to see Jesus that's in the manger. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you need to say, I'm going to make a fresh start. I'm going to start digging into the Word of God, the Bible. I'm going to make this a turning point year, God. Maybe you realize that the virgin birth is more, so much more than just a Christmas story. It's a picture of how close Christ will come to you. And maybe you're here today and you've kind of put the Bible aside, or maybe you've thought, well, I can't really understand it, or maybe you've just been neglecting it because you got other things that you want to read, or maybe there's other things you want to do, or maybe there's other desires in your heart. Today, start fresh. Say, God, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to really search you better, God, and myself better. Maybe you want to say, God, I want to praise you more this year, every day. I want to get focused on praising you, not praising what I want or what I think should happen, but praising you. Or maybe you just want to say, God, I want to live Christmas all year just with my actions, who I am. I know, God, the Love One and Other Project's really helping me, and God, I want to dig into that. Or maybe you're saying, God, I've never even touched that. I want to start that. And that's fine. You can dig into that now. Just in action, you can start showing Christmas. But come to God. Come to Him. Come to the baby of the manger who gave His life on the cross, rose again, so that you could live, really live life and enjoy it every day. God, we praise you. We praise you for not just the manger. We praise you, God, not just for the cross or for the open tomb, but we praise you for who you are and how close you really want to be to us. God, we praise you that we can praise you. We praise you, God, that we can walk in obedience, and that's the best for our life. We praise you, God, that we can show people better who you are, even if it means dropping our cane, our crutch, struggling to get down, to sit beside somebody who needs you. Thank you for your word, God, that we have access to this. We praise you today, even as we embark on this new year, knowing that you're in control of all things. To you, Lord Jesus, be all the glory, all the power, and all honor, not just today, but always. And all God's people said, Amen.